Welcome to Unit 5 in Practical Mathematics. Jim Oswald again, trying to share a little wisdom with you. And as you can see, we're going to be looking at working with percentages. We're also going to look at loans and savings. So let's start with percentages, since that's integral for doing what we're talking about. They tell you percentage rates. So what is a percentage? And as you probably know, percent is the number per hundred, or the fraction per hundred. Very simple, percentum, from the Latin. To change a decimal fraction into a percentage, write out your decimal fraction, move that decimal point two digits to the right, and you now have your percentage. To convert a percent to a decimal, write it out, move that decimal point two digits to the left, and you have your fraction. You're basically just multiplying by 100 to take a decimal into a percentage. You're dividing by 100 to make a percentage into a decimal. Really straightforward. Now, let's look at some examples. Let's go percents to decimal. 3.7%. 0.037 is a fraction. 125.8%. We're talking 1.258 as your fraction. 19%, 0.19. 1.2%, 0.012. Again, we're just taking this decimal place here and we're moving it 1, 2 to the left. 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 Now, let's go the other direction. 0.48, 1, 2 to the right, 48%. 1, 2 to the right, 3.1%. 2.173, 1, 2 to the right, 217.3%. Oh my goodness, this is ugly. Let's move this one to the right. So I've only got two decimals that are zeros before the 9, and we get this. That's pretty small pickings here, but still significant in some settings. Now, you might want to be doing calculations with percentages, and it's really simple. The general formula for computing a percent, what percent is A of B? Multiply A times 100, divide it by B, and there you are. So, what percent of 4 is 3? Well, it's 100 times 3 divided by 4, so 5%. And 1 is what percent of 6? 100 times 1 divided by 6, that's 16.6. You'll notice that I've rounded it off here at three decimal places because it will really just go right off the page with sixes. And, you know, 1 is what percent of 7? 100 times 1 divided by 7, 14.286%. Okay, I've rounded this. As you know, it goes off with a repeating six-digit sequence forever. Now, when people are quoting percentages to you, you need to ask some really pretty serious questions. The numerator, that's this top number here, and this top number here, okay? The numerator, exactly what is that? Is it the total number of occurrences? Is it the average number per occurrence? Is it the measurement on a week ago last Tuesday? What is it? Because by fiddling with this numerator and maybe doing something a little sneaky with it, you can do weirdnesses with percentage. And the denominator, the lower number, the B, the 4, the 6, the 7, what's that? Again, by fiddling with the denominator, you can bloat the apparent percentage, or you can shrink the apparent percentage. Instead of using the total number of cavities observed in the people that use the expensive toothpaste, compared to the number of people who use the cheap toothpaste, maybe you'll get the average number of cavities for both of those. That gets rid of some of the extremes. Is that honest or not? I don't know. You'd have to look at the situation. But again, that's the question you have to ask with the percentages. What is that top number? What is that bottom number? And is calculating it that way a reasonable way of doing it? It's a pitfall I've been trapped by once or twice in my life, and I suspect you have. So let's go on with calculating with percentages. Again, if you're going to be working with loans, with interest-bearing accounts, anything like that, you are going to need to work with percentages. You're going to be able to do it when we're done here. So first thing you do, you get that percent and you make it a decimal. You do whatever calculation you have to do using decimal arithmetic, and then you convert it back into percentage if you need to. So let's look at simple interest. Now, simple interest is exactly what it sounds like. Simple. Let P be your total amount of money that you've got in the account, or that somebody else has an account, or whatever. Whether it's borrowed money or savings, it doesn't matter. Let R be the interest rate per unit of time. 6% a year, 1.2% a year, 0.1% a month, whatever it is, to convert that into a decimal fraction. Now, a number of units of time will pass. Whatever your interest rate is, such and so amount per month or per year, or heaven help you, per week or day, however many units of that have passed, define that as N. Now, with simple interest rate, you can be working with, say, an annual interest rate, and you could have, 2 years, 3 months. Well, okay, that's 2 1/4 for N. With simple interest, you can get away with that. Okay, so it's whatever it is. And then, if you've got that P dollars sitting there drawing R per unit time, and you've gone through N units of time, total interest accruing, what you've accrued because of that interest, is the total principal times the rate times the number of units of time. So you hold $1,000 for 16 months at 0.4% per month, you're going to end up with $64. Now let's take a big one, $5,000, 15 years, 5% annual interest. Okay, that comes to $3,750 worth of interest. Not bad. So this is really fairly simple and it's very straightforward. Here comes compound interest. Okay, yeah. There's a reason why they don't call this simple interest. You'll catch that in a few minutes. So, P is your principal, R is your rate of interest per unit time, and N is the number of units times, just with a simple interest. N's going to have to stay an integer. Okay? It gets really messy if you don't do it that way. All right? A is whatever the total amount you're going to have at the end of the nth unit of time. Put the money in now. It sits there for N units of time, maybe 6 months, maybe 56 months. I don't know. A is the amount that you're going to have when you're all done. Here's the formula at compound interest. What you end up with is your principal times the interest rate per unit of time plus 1. You raise that to the nth power. Let's do some calculating. Now you remember we had 5,000 at 5% held for 15 years before. Let's rerun that now. Same $5,000 as your principal. Rate of interest is still 5%, which is this ugly number here per month. N is 12 times 15, or 180. Here's how that formula works out. and you'll end up with $10,568 and roughly 52 cents. I mean, it's rounded off to the nearest penny. Now, you may recall that you made $3,750 over that length of time with simple interest. You've made $5,000+ with compound interest. Compound interest rises more rapidly than simple interest. It's useful to know. Now let's take another one. 5,000, 4.8% per year, compounded monthly, 25 years. You started out with 50 grand, you end up with 165 grand. Hopefully this is your savings account, because you've made over $110,000. Just letting it sit there for 25 years. Compound interest is fierce. It really rises, and it really rises towards the end very quickly. This is why when you get a credit card, they'll tell you the annual interest rate, but they'll tell you it's compounded monthly. They make more money that way. And I'm not, you know, saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, okay, that's what's going on. So, let's move forward to another concept. Loans and savings. So let's say that P is your payment on the loan, A is the amount of money being borrowed, N is the number of units of time, that'll usually be a month, and R is the interest rate per unit of time, which will be quoted as an annual thing, so you'll have to divide it by 12. So far, so good. Let's look at formulas. So this is the formula for a payment. This is how the payment and the amount, the interest rate, and the duration of the loan relate to each other. Let's put this to use. Let's say you need to have 7 years from now, you need to have $8,000. Okay, maybe you're thinking the roof on your house is going to need replaced in 7 years, and you figure it's going to cost you $8,000 when you get there. It's only going to cost you about $6,000 now, but you figure it's going to rise $2,000 by the time you've got the money saved. So your account gets you 4.8% interest. I don't get anything near like that right now. So if you want to do this, how is it going to work? So you've got $8,000. That's the amount you need. Interest rate, 0.004 per month. Held for 84 months. Plug it into this formula. This is what you get. All of these lovely little calculations here. And you end up that you're going to have to sock away about $80 a month for 7 years to be pretty sure you're going to have about $8,000. Now, let's say that you're not going to get 4.8%. You're only going to get 3.6% per year, which is compounded monthly. That drops the rate from the 004 here, 0.004, to 0.003. It's going to cost you an extra $3.63 a month, roughly. That should have been a P there, and I got that wrong when I was typing. I'm not the world's best typist. Now let's look at loans and savings for a minute from another angle. You need a certain amount of money, and you know you're going to be paying it in monthly installments at a given interest rate over a given number of months. You want to know what the payment's going to look like. Here's the formula. These two numbers, the payment and the amount, relate by this additional formula. Now you'll notice this is a negative number here, negative N. It's important to notice. Conversely, let's say you know that you can afford a certain amount of money a month, at a given, you know you're going to have a given interest rate, and you want to pay it off over a certain number of months. The question is, what can you afford to borrow? Here's your formula. And if you're at all into math, all you can do is see that I solved for A out of this formula. Straightforward, very simple. Okay, not very simple, but at least straightforward to me. So let's put this into real world. You want to borrow $95,000 because you're like buying a new house and you've got a good down payment. And they're going to nick you for 6% an annum every year. And it's going to be compounded monthly. And they're going to give you 20 years to pay them back. So here's how the calculation goes. $95,000, 0.005 per month, 240 months, 20 years times 12 months. Plug it into this formula, and you can figure you're going to be paying around $680, 680.61 cents a month. And yes, I've rounded that off. Now, I want you to notice, I multiply this times 240, and here's the total number of your payments. Look what you borrowed, $95,000. Look what you paid them in, $163,000+. You're literally getting nicked about $68,336.40 in interest over that length of time. That's a lot of money. Let's take the same scenario, but you decided to be a smart person and you shopped around and you did everything you could and you found a bank that would give you 5.4% interest instead of 6%. That's only a 10% change in the interest rate, but look what that does. R comes out to being 0.0045. Plug that into this miserable excuse for a formula, and suddenly it says $680 and change a month. You're paying $648 and change a month, $32 less a month. But here's where it really gets big. Look at the total of 240 payments. That's just short of $8,000 less money out of your pocket over those 20 years. That's a lot of change. So you can see why just changing this interest rate, even a scrap, could be very beneficial. Now, calculations like this can also, you can take a look, how much have I got left to my loan to pay off, and I've got this higher interest rate, what's the difference going to look like if I do a lower interest rate? Hey, maybe I can pay a little more and shorten my length of time on the loan. You use this formula, you've got the power to do some calculations now. And again, I don't know about you, I've got a spreadsheet. I like my friend Excel. Excel is great. I'll just set this formula up on Excel, and then I'll tell it the various interest rates, and it'll do the computations for me quickly. I've taught you how to do that. Okay? So let's go the other way. What can I afford to borrow? Okay, that's a little risky, but it's a thought. Let's say that you can afford $700 a month, and they're going to want 6% interest per year. Okay, let's say that you're looking at buying a new dwelling or buying a piece of land, and you're willing to shell out $700 a month for it, and you've got good certainty you're going to have that kind of money. So here's how the variables fall. P is 700. R is 1/12 of 6, which is 0.005. This should be 12 times 20. I have a typo here, and I apologize for that. Plug it into the formula. Here we go. This is what you can afford to borrow. Around 97 grand. Nearly 98. It's a pretty nice chunk of change. Yeah, you're putting in $700 a month, and yeah, it's going to be a lot more than that when you're done paying it, but that's what you can afford, roughly. But you shopped around. You got your good financial person stuff in your head, You went around and you found that bank at 5.4%. What can you afford at $700 a month? Here's your answer. You're short of $5,000 more money to work with. Now, frankly, that might make the difference between you being able to purchase what you're looking at in terms of land or buildings or whatever, and not being able to purchase it. So it's an important thing to be aware of.